Here we go. It's another big week in the NFL for the Chicago Bears. This is the Bears Wire Podcast, powered by USA Today Sports. Now your host, Ryan O'Leary, and Bears Wire editor, Alyssa Barbieri.
Hey there, welcome into the program. We've reached week 14 of the NFL season already. It's December, Alyssa, and maybe someday soon we'll have a football team that's fighting for playoff positioning, and that'd be kind of fun, right? That'd be a nice change of pace for us, wouldn't it? Have a playoff team to talk about?
I mean, it really would, but I feel like at this point, this team is so far away from being that, but they could really do a good thing and just kind of, like, they could take a big step forward in just getting rid of Matt Nagy and that coaching staff, and even general manager Ryan Pace. So, I mean, maybe, Ryan, there's a time, and hopefully this podcast goes on for years to come, and hopefully we're not waiting too long, but I think hopefully in the future they'll be in the playoffs, and they wouldn't have had to sneak in there like they did last year.
Yeah, that was sneaky last year. There's no doubt about it. And yes, we do have some takes on the head coach, as always, and the GM here coming up. First, really quick, friendly reminder to our listeners to hit that subscribe button for us. We appreciate you all. You can search the Bears Wire on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever works best for you. And okay, so now that that's out of the way, Alyssa, we can talk about, you know, things that we're upset about from the previous Bears game. Well, let's start with Tevin Jenkins. Okay, so he's active, but plays no snaps versus the Cardinals. And Matt Nagy comes out after the game, says that Jason Peters has played well, so Tevin Jenkins is the backup. And for me, it's like, that's all well and good if you're soon to be 40-year-old left tackle is set to like anchor a playoff run, but as we said, that's the Bears are nowhere as close to that. They're 4-8. They're going nowhere this year. Wouldn't the organization want to at least like rotate Jenkins in there and get him some snaps and see him in action? Like, what are we doing here? Tevin Jenkins is active but doesn't play. It's like, isn't that the same as when he's in sweats? Like, I don't understand what's going on here. That this makes no sense to me at all.
Yeah, and that's pretty Matt Nagy-ish, right? I mean, it doesn't really make sense. But, I mean, at this point, he's kind of, you know, clinging to the fact that the Bears technically aren't mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. But let's be real, there's no way. Because especially after this week when they lose to the Packers on Sunday, you know, even though they still might not be out of it, they are, right? So, I mean, at this point, while they're still in it, he doesn't want to kind of throw in the white flag here and just kind of be like, okay, you know, we're done and we're looking towards the future. Like, if he did, like, if his job was safe next year, I think that we'd start to see that. And that's why I think that at this point, Matt Nagy is kind of like going to pull out all the stops, right? We're seeing him throw the ball a lot more, right? Get more aggressive. And maybe he was even calling plays. We don't know. Maybe he has more input, right? You can kind of see that he looks like a desperate man right now. And this is one of those moves where, you know, kind of sticking with Jason Peters, who's been great. Like, the 39-year-old has been the most consistent offensive lineman for the Bears this year. And, you know, obviously you don't want to take him out or, you know, move him when he's been doing really well. But at this point, this is about the future of the team, right? Justin Fields, whenever he's healthy, getting back out there and getting those valuable reps. Someone like Tevin Jenkins, who you also traded up to get in the second round, who has yet to play this year, hasn't even played in training camp. He needs to go out there and get those reps. The Bears need to see what they have in him at this point. And, you know, that could impact, you know, what they're targeting in the draft, whether it's an interior lineman or maybe they do need to go out and get a left tackle, right? So, I mean, at this point, I mean, Matt Nagy just kind of, he left it, like he said that Jenkins was going to remain more in a backup role for this year, kind of like that emergency guy should something happen to Peters. But then he also left the door open to, oh, maybe it changes. So that kind of also tells me maybe they don't think he's ready, but also it could just be Nagy kind of being stubborn and just wanting to kind of stick with his guys and not really show that they're giving up because technically they're still in the hunt.
Well, we are talking about a head coach that told us on a Monday that Andy Dalton was QB1 and Justin Fields is QB2 and then changed his mind on Wednesday and said, no, Justin Fields is the quarterback no matter what, unless he's hurt. So, yeah, so I guess Matt Nagy always reserves the right to change his mind, right, Alyssa? That's what we've seen with him. He might just change his mind tomorrow. We never know with this freaking guy. And yeah, the quote I wrote down, just getting him into the groove, just getting him up active is good. That was the quote he had about Tevin Jenkins. And it's like, what the hell? I don't get that. Like, what's the difference? Like, why is it just good getting him in uniform and having him stand there? Is that, you know, for the mental reps? Like, I don't understand that quote. Like, he could take mental reps in sweatpants and stand on the sideline. He could do that from the press box. Like, he doesn't need to be up for these games in an emergency capacity. I don't know how that gets him into the groove at all. I think getting him into the groove would be like putting him on the field.
Yeah, no, exactly. Because at this point, he's had a lot of mental reps because he's, even though he hadn't practiced, you know, up to 3 weeks ago, like he was out there, you know, kind of watching Peters and learning from him. He's in those meetings, right, in the offensive line room. So, I mean, it's not like he's at home sitting around doing nothing. Like, he has those mental reps. Now he needs to get that on-field experience, and now he's not getting an opportunity to do that. But, I mean, if the Bears are eliminated within, I'd have to kind of look to see all, but there's so many different scenarios. I mean, the fact that they're still in it at this point and they've won four games is ridiculous. But eventually when they are eliminated, or if Matt Nagy is fired after the Bears get blown out by the Packers, you know, maybe then we'll start to see, you know, maybe Tevin gets some snaps here and there. Because, I mean, I expected to see him, I don't know if maybe in this game, but at least maybe like the Packers game, just like a couple of reps here and there, not just kind of throw him out there and give him a full workload, but kind of just give him some reps here and there, kind of see what he does. I know that kind of, that can, kind of affect the offensive line and the chemistry and the camaraderie and all that, but I mean, you got to find a way to get him those live reps. They plugged Larry Borum in there, and the line didn't affect the line at all after Jermaine Fetti went down. And now they're just kind of leaving him there on IR because they don't need him. At this point, I think it's, you just want to see Jenkins get some kind of live action. Because like you said, you know, just getting him up active is good. What does that mean? Like, so what, he can, you know, wear a uniform and sit on the sideline instead of wearing sweats? Like, I don't understand that. He needs to get on the field. Is what he needs to do.
He's grooving, running out of that tunnel with the team. He's grooving. That's got him in a groove. All right, so that was takeaway number one. I'm sure people enjoyed that. And here's takeaway number two. And I'm back on this one again, Alyssa. Andy Dalton is washed. He's done. He's cooked. He's done. Andy Dalton's done. Like, you're watching these games, just like you're screaming at the TV, why are you here, Andy? Why were you here in the first place? All four of his interceptions in this one gave the Cardinals the ball inside Chicago's 30-yard line. That was unbelievable. This one probably should have been a laugher. I can't believe Chicago stayed within 11 points. I guess that's a moral victory right there. And here's the question I had for you. Like, at one point, they showed a camera shot of Nick Foles on the bench, sitting next to Dalton, right? And he had a coat jacket over his right arm. Like, Foles was keeping that arm warm just in case, right? And I'm like, man, Nick Foles, you're nowhere close to going in this game, are you? Like, I looked it up. Nick Foles, he hasn't had one snap, not even in garbage time, mop-up duty, kneel down, nothing, right? No snaps this year. And like a little over a year ago, the Bears couldn't wait to get Nick Foles out there, right? As soon as Mitch screwed up, they put Nick Foles in. Nick Foles was the guy. And then it just, you know, obviously it didn't work out. We all know how that went. They brought Mitch Trubisky back. It was so bad. But for Nick Foles to like not get one snap this year, it just shows how much they hate him. And I don't know if it's because they gave Andy Dalton money or what, but it's like, I understand giving all the snaps you can to Justin Fields, but if Fields is out and you've got Dalton really struggling, like, I can't believe Nick Foles hasn't gotten a chance again this year. That's one thing that I think is kind of, there's something going on behind the scenes there. Why hasn't Nick Foles gotten a chance? Because Dalton sucks. He's washed. You know what I mean? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty bad when I was sitting there and just being like, put Nick Foles in. Yes. And like, I never thought I'd say those words again. Especially after last year, you know, I mean, we've given Foles his due on this show. So
we've been hot and cold on him. Yes,
we really have. But kind of like looking at Dalton, can you believe it, Ryan? Like there is an alternate universe out there where the Bears don't trade up and get Justin Fields. And then their quarterback room is Andy Dalton and Nick Foles. And like the thought of having to kind of survive that for an entire season is exhausting. Yeah. I mean, like, obviously we haven't had Fields as long as we wanted. He's only started 8 games, finished 7 of them, right? So like, obviously we want to get Fields back here and healthy. But to kind of go back to your question about Foles and not really getting any reps, well, I mean, technically teams carry 2 active quarterbacks on their roster, right? And they normally stash one on the practice squad. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that's, you know, upset me about the whole Foles situation. It's because his contract, it's so much more expensive to release him than to just keep him on the roster. So that's what they're doing. And not only is he just kind of sitting there, he's taking up a roster spot for someone else. And you're down a whole, like, you have a lot of weaknesses in the secondary. You have a lot of injured players on defense. Like, you could be using that roster spot for somebody else, right? So it's just kind of like a waste at this point. And I mean, at that, like, that's the reason why, right? Like, I think the Bears went into this wanting it to be Fields and Dalton, but, and they were hoping to trade Foles, but no one wanted him in that contract. So they were just kind of stuck with him. So we've just kind of been chilling and holding the clipboard, usually in sweats. And we got to see him in a jersey for the last couple of weeks, which is very weird.
Yeah.
But I mean, at this point, it's like that game last week, like to kind of go back to what I said before, it was a reminder of what the season could have been and how much worse it could have been if it was just Dalton and Foles.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, you have to wonder, would Foles be playing? And then maybe they switch back to Dalton, like the whole Trubisky-Foles thing last year. Like, I mean, it's just brutal. But I think Foles shouldn't be on the roster. That's the thing. And, I mean, that's the Bears' fault. Like, that goes back to Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. That was Nagy's guy, and Pace is the one that ultimately pulled the trigger on that deal, I should say.
Yeah, and it does reflect on the GM, right? And there is some doubt out there. I don't know if we covered this last week, but there's been some doubt out there, at least one report that I think you put out on a Bears Wire that Pace will not be back next season, right? That there's some serious doubt that he could be back, not only the head coach, but the GM as well.
Yeah, like there was someone from CBS Sports was saying that this is the first time too, because normally there's a lot of speculation at this point. And we saw all the reports with Nagy and how it, you know, ended up being nothing. But, you know, normally when you have reports or you have insiders that are sharing information like this, they don't use words lightly. Right. So this information is coming from somewhere in the front office. So, and, you know, it's likely that Pace won't be back next year, which, again, things can change between now and then. But I mean, at this point, Matt Nagy has just kind of like been taking all of the spotlight's on him. So all the fans are like, you know, directing their anger at him when Pace does deserve some of it, because you look at the roster that Nagy's working with this year, and it's the worst that he's had, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Cornerback is a position that Ryan Pace just completely messed up this year. Like, he's like, okay, Jalen Johnson, then whoever else we got back there, right? We're going to release Kyle Fuller. And it'll work, right? Because we had Sean Desai, this up-and-coming defensive coordinator. We'll bring him in, and we all these aging veterans. You know, like, it just kind of, you look back, I know Pace has done some good things. He's, you know, especially in the later rounds of the draft, but he's had some huge misses, and it's not just Mitchell Trubisky. It's been a lot of these free agent signings or trades for Nick Foles, right? So at this point, like, I feel like Pace, I don't know, Ryan, if you've seen like this meme that I think it surfaced like 2 or 3 years ago of like Pace, like kind of hiding behind a door or like this opening in at the Halas Hall press room. And he's like hiding from everybody. And that's what it feels like right now. Like, he's just kind of letting Matt Nagy kind of take the shots right now and just kind of hoping he somehow survives. But you kind of have to wonder if Pace does manage to survive this, because we know Nagy's not going to, whether it's after this week or, you know, at the end of the season, whatnot. But if Pace stays, you have to wonder how that affects some of the coaching candidates that are going to come in here. Like, if they see that and they're like, we're not really sure if we want to pay, you know, play for this guy. We've seen this. We know he's kind of like, at this point, look at what he's done to the roster. There's not a lot of draft picks, you know? So, I mean, at that point, I think like Ryan Pace, it's very likely. I mean, I feel like I would still kind of beat Lane. If I had to guess, I'd say it's probably more like 60-40. 60 he stays, 40 he's gone. But, I mean, again, that can change, especially how things go on Sunday night.
Yeah, no, it's such a good take. Like, he is totally, like, using Matt Nagy as, like, the shield, right? The body shield. And he's hiding behind him. And Nagy's taking all the heat. Fire Nagy, fire Nagy, fire Nagy. When Pace, he's complicit as well. I mean, Andy Dalton this year, QB rating, 79, 64% completion, 6 touchdowns, 6 picks. He's been really bad. He's washed. And you gave him $10 million guaranteed before we knew, as you said, that Justin Fields was going to end up falling to the Bears in that trade in the draft. So it could have been Andy Dalton. He could have been the guy all year long, him and Nick Foles. All right, so coming up next, our questions of the week. Stick with us.
This is the Tipico Sportsbook Fantasy Minute. Let's make this interesting. Interesting.
I'm Corey Benigni with TheHuddle.com, here to bring you strong plays for Week 14 of the fantasy football season. Quarterback Ben Roethlisberger, Pittsburgh Steelers at Minnesota Vikings. His two best fantasy games have come in the last 3 weeks, and while his arm isn't what it used to be, Big Ben can still remain efficient with short area passing and rack up a couple of touchdowns along the way. Roethlisberger has at least 2 touchdown passes in 3 of his last 4 contests, and Minnesota has given up 3 or more such plays in the last 5 games, including 296 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no picks to Jared Goff last week. Even Dallas Dallas Cowboys backup Cooper Rush torched his defense in Week 8, and in the five games leading up to Week 13, Minnesota's ranked 34.7% better than average for a quarterback to face. Carolina Panthers running back Chuba Hubbard versus Atlanta Falcons. The rookie's last game as a starter came in Week 8 at Atlanta, in which he finished with 16.1 PPR points, his second best showing to date. The Panthers are not only without running back Christian McCaffrey for the rest of the year, but offensive coordinator Joe Brady was fired during the bye week. Hubbard should benefit from the newfound dedication to the running game, and he's a strong play number two in weekly formats. Minnesota Vikings wide receiver KJ Osborne versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. Wide receiver Adam Thielen has an ankle injury and has been ruled out for this Thursday nighter, and Osborne is the next man up against a Steelers defense that will be without cornerback Joe Hayden once again. While that doesn't directly impact Osborne, it shifts the coverage around in his favor. Four times in the last five games, a wide receiver scored against the Steelers, and the position has averaged the 12th most yards per game during that window of operation. Osborne is a slightly risky, but certainly viable wide receiver three with number two upside. New York Giants tight end Evan Engram at Denver Broncos. Engram might as well have Tom the hot dog salesman throwing to him in week 14, but this matchup is so dang good that it's hard to get away from it. Quarterback Daniel Jones is unlikely to play, and his backup Mike Glennon suffered a concussion in week 13. That leaves Jake Fromm as the third stringer. In reality, is Fromm really that much worse, if at all, than Glennon? Probably not. LA has allowed tight ends 5 touchdowns in the last 22 catches, which is solidly the easiest matchup in that metric. Play Engram as a flyer for a cheap touchdown. The playoffs will be upon us in week 15. For more award-winning fantasy football news, tips, information, and advice, please be sure to check out thehuddle.com.
That was your Tipico Sportsbook Fantasy Minute. Win your fantasy football league with thehuddle.com and use them to dominate player prop bets at Tipico Sportsbook. For a limited time, new Tipico Sportsbook users in Colorado and New Jersey from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. Get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. See Tipico.com for terms and conditions. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey. 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado.
All right, Alyssa, Matt Nagy told reporters after the game that offensive coordinator Bill Lazor remains the play caller. Now, why do I bring this up? It's because that Matt Nagy clearly had a walkie-talkie on the sideline, and he was doing something into the walkie-talkie. So, you know, we're always going to read into this stuff. And Nagy says there was communication issues between the headset. So he literally tried to tell us that Bill Lazor was relaying plays to him, and then he was relaying plays to Dalton through the walkie-talkie. The same plays, right? It must be the same plays. He's not changing those plays. Here's question number one in our questions of the week. Buy or sell that Nagy has fully let go of the play calling. Alyssa, what do you think?
Fully let go? Because, I mean, you can't convince me that when he's there on the sideline and he has a headset and he's connected to Bill Lazor, that he's not giving some kind of input. Ultimately, I still think it's up to Lazor. But Nagy might really be like, oh, come on, he has a really good play call right here. Because you can tell there are some, especially that trick play, the atomic bomb that Jakeem Grant called it, that was almost a complete and utter disaster. Andy almost. Dalton almost got like his clock bumped.
That was tremendous. I love that.
That was Andy Dalton's best play of the game.
It was great. Right? It was great.
that he avoided that. But you kind of see things like that. And of course, I still think that Nagy's there giving suggestions and kind of giving his input. But I do think that Lazor is still calling plays. I mean, it's just Lazor's not a good play caller either. He is definitely better than Nagy. And again, like at times, at least in the beginning of this, it felt like, you know, Lazor was this great play caller just because when you compare him to Matt Nagy, he does feel like that. But he's also not a good play caller. So, I mean, I agree with that. But the fact that I wonder what's going on, because this is the second straight home game where they've had communication issues and they've had to bring out the walkie-talkie. Like, this is the second straight time at Soldier Field. What is going on? Can you not hire someone that is looking out for this? Isn't that someone's job? Like, I know like it was raining and stuff, but I mean, this happened a couple weeks before that too. So something, I don't know what's going on, but I mean, at this point, I mean, I'm not convinced that Nagy is just kind of sitting idly by, because you see him kind of talking into the headset, but it was clear at one point when he had his play card and he's talking, I'm like, oh my God, is he calling plays again? And I'm like, it wouldn't surprise me. I still think he's giving input, but it's still Lazor calling the show here.
There was a couple of times where Dalton like came over close to the sideline, and it was kind of clear Nagy was giving him all the communication.
Yeah,
that's why you caught me there. Has he fully let go of the play calling? I got to sell that. No, I don't think he's fully let go of the play calling. Maybe some of it, but not fully. All right, so question number two. Give me one bear that you're happiest with and one bear that you're pissed at after this week.
Oh, I think let's start with the happy. Yeah, I know, like, you know, we want to start with the bad, but let's switch to the happy, right? And that's running back David Montgomery. I mean, like, he's one of my favorite players, and it's not only in his production and how effective he is, because he looks like he was his, you know, early season self before he suffered that knee injury. Like, it felt like he was going to be among the top five rushers in the league, and then he suffered the setback and missed a month. And now, like, after, I mean, he didn't get the ball a lot against Detroit, and he needed a little time to kind of speed up against the Ravens. But, like, it felt like Montgomery is back, and he's someone that can succeed even when this offense is kind of going up in flames around him, at least in the passing game.
Yep.
So, and I love Montgomery's attitude, too. Like, one of the things with him that I've noticed this season that's been different is that he's really taken on more of a leadership role. And he's someone that he can be vocal, but he's always, like, he's also, like, this lead by example kind of guy. And you see that, and you hear that in the post-game press conferences where he's like, you know, I'm still going to fight. I don't care our record's 4-8. I'm going to come prepared. I'm going to get on everyone else's ass and make sure they're prepared and that we're going to keep fighting. We're not going to give up. And you want that in a leader in your locker room. And this guy's only in his third year, right? So, I mean, I love what I'm seeing from David Montgomery. He's one of my favorite players this year. I love how he plays the game. I love how he approaches it. And as far as the person that disappointed me the most, and, like, he's a great guy, but Andy Dalton in that game, it just, like, I can't believe there was a time when Matt Nagy tried to convince us that Andy Dalton was better fit to run this offense than Justin Fields.
He was so bad this game.
He was so bad. Can we put that narrative to bed, too, that Dalton can run this offense better than Fields? Because, like, it's looked pretty similar at times, but you've seen the moments when Fields can kind of overcome Nagy's offense, because the scheme's a mess. It's been a mess for the last 3 years after everyone figured it out after his first year in 2018. So, I mean, the Andy Dalton technically was the biggest disappointment. It just kind of felt like, I mean, I didn't think the Bears were going to win this game, but pretty early it was clear that, you know, with the weather conditions and with the field being the way it was, the Bears were in this game and they had a shot. And almost immediately, Andy Dalton throws that first interception. It's like, oh, my goodness. And the one he had four, only one wasn't his fault. That was the Cole Kmet one where he just kind of basically kind of threw it up in the air a little bit. And aside from that, though, like, there were the last two interceptions were just brutal. And it's kind of like, aren't you supposed to be the veteran? And not only that, it's, you know, when you hear people talk about Justin Fields and Andy Dalton and they're comparing them, they always say that Dalton's the one, he's not making mistakes, right? He doesn't make mistakes very often. He's going to play it safe. But this game just kind of showed that's not him. He's a great backup quarterback. I would actually love the Bears to have him as a backup next year. I don't think he's going to want to stay here after the way things have happened this year in Chicago with him being booed and all this stuff. And, you know, he's going to want to go be a starter elsewhere. Plus, they still have Nick Foles next year. I cannot believe that. But at this point, I mean, he's just not a good starting quarterback. And it was really frustrating watching that because he repeatedly kind of just kept giving the Cardinals the ball back. And the Bears had a chance in this game, Ryan. It was like, they really did. They were, like you said, they were only down 11 at one point. I was like, oh my goodness, this is still possible. And then, you know, then Dalton happened. So, I mean, Andy Dalton, great guy. I was really happy for him against the Lions, and this game was the exact opposite.
Yeah. And I agree with you. David Montgomery, he's the one you're easily happiest with. His comments after the game were awesome. Good leadership. Andy Dalton's an easy one for the down. Another guy on my list, my hit list here, Sam Mustipher, the center. Dude, snap the ball. What the hell's going on? Can you snap the freaking ball? What's going on there? The center can't snap it. That was kind of frustrating, too. So he was on my list as well. But, yeah, no, I think Dalton's enemy number one, I think, in this game. He was terrible. Okay, question number three. One thing that must happen for the Bears, Alyssa, to have a shot to win at Green Bay this week.
A miracle. Hell freezing over. Pigs flying. Aaron Rodgers deciding to rest his toe and the rest of the Packers starters.
Oh, the pinky toe. Yeah, kinda, the pinky toe.
Yeah, just maybe the rest of the Packers starters take a week off or they cancel the game. I don't know. I don't give the Bears a shot in this game. It's weird, though, because you look back at the first matchup and the Bears, they should have won that game. Like, they were in it. You know, we know that the one offsides penalty that led to the interception, how that kind of changed things. But the Bears, you know, that was a pretty good game. The fact that the defense only held the Packers to 24 points, which is impressive for them, considering some of the other blowouts that we've seen, especially last year. But this game, like, it felt like a more evenly matched game back in week six, was it? But now it just feels like it's setting the stage for the Bears to just get absolutely massacred on national television, which has happened before. It always feels like it's the primetime games, which are always at Lambeau Field, by the way. Like, it feels like the disparity between the number of primetime games at Lambeau compared to Soldier Field in this rivalry is ridiculous. But it just kind of feels like it's setting up to be one of those just blowouts where it's over by halftime and we're talking about Matt Nagy possibly getting fired the next day. So the Bears, any chance the Bears win in this game? I'm going to stick with Miracle because I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I don't know if the Nagy hot seat can get any hotter. The hot seat watch you've been posting on Bears Wire, it's pretty hot. It's pretty much
9.9 right now. Yeah, it can get higher.
It's at a complete boil. It's like it's boiling over the pot. The pot's boiling over. Got to turn it down. I like that. What must happen for the Bears to have a shot to win? A miracle? I like that because it sounds like Rodgers and his little pinky toe will be fine. And he might get David Bakhtiari back on the offensive line. And, oh, by the way, Za'Darius Smith and Jair Alexander, I think they're supposed to return to practice this week. We're recording on Tuesday, so I guess we'll find out on Wednesday. But those guys are getting close to practicing. Maybe they have a shot at playing. So the Packers defense has been really good, and those are probably their two best defensive players that have been out for a while. They could be back. So yeah, it's just all great news for the Bears as we brace ourselves for another Packers weekend. And let's get into that game a little bit more. We'll talk about the spread and make a prediction right after this.
This is the Tipico Sportsbook Minute. Let's make this interesting.
What's up? This is Jeff Clark from the Bet Slippin' Podcast presented by SportsbookWire.com. I'm here with my handicap and homie Nathan Beagle to break down this week's Monday Night Football game between the Los Angeles Rams and the Arizona Cardinals. Our friends at Tipico Sportsbook have the Cardinals favored 2.5 points and the total sitting at 51.5. I'm on the Cardinals -2.5 here because they have the better quarterback and the better defense. And this game is priced as if these teams are even on a neutral field, whereas I think Cardinals are favored or should be favored on a neutral field. So I'll take them laying 2.5 at home. Nate, how are you betting the Rams-Cardinals game?
All right, so both teams rank in the top 10 in opponents' passing yards per game, yet they love to throw the ball. The Rams are averaging under 24 points per game versus teams with top 10 pass defenses. Combine it all, and I think the under 52 looks good.
That was your Tipico Sportsbook Minute. For a limited time, new users in Colorado and New Jersey from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. Get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. See Tipico.com for terms and conditions. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey. 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado.
All right, the Bears, 11.5-point dogs at Green Bay. This is where we're at, Alyssa. 11.5-point underdogs. Do you remember actually the last time Chicago beat the Packers? Here's a little trivia for you. Do you remember the last time they won outright?
Oh, I do. It was in 2018. It was the second game. First year of Matt Nagy's. I know you're laughing.
You nailed it. Yes, you nailed it. Yep, go on.
We're playing the Packers 2018. They won the division with that win. It was closer. I mean, the game wasn't as close as the final score indicated, but I remember that game vividly. It was an incredibly happy moment. I was watching it with my dad, and we hugged afterwards. Because, I mean, I'm also a Michigan fan, so I've been on the bad side of both two of sports' best rivalries, like being a Michigan fan and getting hammered by Ohio State every year until this year, right? Then getting usually demolished by the Packers. You know, it's just anytime they win, it's like it's very memorable. So, yes, that was a nice one. And that was Mitchell Trubisky not looking too bad. But, you know, then we saw what happened over the last few years.
Yeah, that was Mitch Trubisky, Jordan Howard. I had to look that up, but you didn't. Apparently you remember that, of course, because it happened so few times, the Bears beating the Packers, that you remember vividly what happened in the game. Absolutely. Aaron Rodgers got sacked 5 times by that excellent Bears defense in 2018. Mm-hmm. As well. All right, trivia question number 2. Now I'm sure you're going to get this right as well because you nailed that one. Do you remember the last time the Bears won at Lambeau Field? Do you remember what year it was?
I do. That was 2015. That was Thanksgiving night. It was Brett Favre night. They are retiring his jersey. And the Bears, with like the worst defense that I've seen in the last decade for this franchise, managed to defeat Aaron Rodgers. And it was amazing. And that was Jay Cutler, you know, smoking Jay. That was a really good game. I was shocked at that point because that's one of those where you went into it expecting to just get demolished, kind of like this Sunday.
Yep.
But I don't see something like that happening because it kind of felt like it was faded. It was like Papa Bear Hallis, you know, from heaven, just kind of being, oh, Brett Favre, okay, here you go. You get one.
Yeah, and they shut down Aaron Rodgers that, you know, that year. 13 points the Packers got. 13 points. It was Jay Cutler versus Rodgers, Matt Forte versus Eddie Lacy. The only points in the second half was a Robbie Gould field goal. Chicago was up 14-13 at halftime, and Gould was able to extend that. Jeremy Langford and Zach Miller had the touchdowns, Alyssa. Yeah, so you nailed it. You nailed it. 2015, that was the last time the Bears won at Lambeau. That's more than half a decade ago. It's been a long time.
All these names, too, that you're mentioning.
Yeah, right?
It's kind of like, that's how long it's been.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's bringing you back. So I guess the question is, do we see things changing now? Do we see, do we see this happening again? It's been so one-sided. Like I said, more than half a decade since you've won in Lambeau. And no, I don't see things changing now. I don't think it's going to happen this week. I don't think we're going to see similar kind of magic. I pulled up some stats, Alyssa, to kind of illustrate where I'm going here. NFL team opponent yards per play. So this is how many yards per play a defense allows. The Packers, 7th in the league at 5.3 yards per play allowed. So it just kind of illustrates that their defense has been very good. You know, and that's been a weakness for the Packers. Now it's kind of a strength. The Bears offense is 29th in the league at yards per play. So you got a bad offense against a really good defense in yards per play. And another one is points per game, right? The Packers are 5th in the league at allowing only 20.2 points per game. The Bears offense, 30th. So, I mean, the stats are not in the Bears' favor. The Bears also have lost 6 of 7 with their one win against the Lions, who, you know, the Lions are a fun little team. They got their win. They got their win over the Vikings. That was sweet.
And they needed a field goal to do it.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, on the other side, the Packers are in a hunt for the number one seed. I just don't – it doesn't align, right? The stars don't align for this game to get crazy and for something weird to happen in Green Bay. I fully expect the Packers to win and win big in this game, especially if it's Andy Dalton under center. I just don't think there's a shot.
Yeah, I mean, this is a game I think it will be over by halftime. I think the only reason why the Cardinals game wasn't over by halftime was because of the weather and, you know, the field conditions and everything, and the fact that I don't know how the Bears are still in that game, but they were. But I feel like this game, and that's the thing, because you see a pattern with these matchups, these Bears-Packers matchups, which hopefully eventually the Bears will be able to flip the script and they'll be on the winning side as they once were. But, you know, I wasn't following them when they were, unfortunately, because I was very young when they were on the winning side of the rivalry, but which is just crazy. But yeah, I don't really give them a chance in this game. And like you said, it's probably going to be Andy Dalton under center because Justin Fields, I mean, they don't want to rush him back. Cracked ribs are, you know, I mean, even if they're like, oh, there's small fractures, they're still cracked ribs, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to rush him back from that, especially if you said Za'Darius Smith could be coming back and you don't want to kind of subject Fields to this pass rush and this defense. So, this is a game where we could see Andy Dalton, perhaps Nick Foles, because Dalton does have a left hand injury. So, I mean, we'll see how this all shakes out because, you know, we are recording this on a Tuesday and we still have a whole week of practice to go. But, and then with this defense, and you've seen just how much worse cornerback position has gotten since week 6 when they last played. Like, it's just, I feel like every week there's a new cornerback that's not named Jalen Johnson, just being the absolute weak.
Yeah,
like he's getting torched every week. Like, first it was Kendall Vildor, who then got benched for Artie Burns, who then got burned, and then it was Xavier Crawford this week, and like, who's it next week? Like, I don't have
spin
anymore.
Just kind of rotate back.
It's going to be Vildor again, I guess. So yeah, this is a game I would want nothing more for the Bears to win this game, obviously, as a Bears fan, and it being Packers week, and this one's going to sting because it always does when, you know, it's your bitter rival and you have their opposing fans just kind of mocking you because they know they're going to win and you know they're going to win, and it just hurts even more. But and normally we've seen like that 2015 Thanksgiving game where, I mean, anything can happen, but this is one of those weeks. Like, I think it's going to be typical Bears Packers over the last decade where the Packers win handedly, and it's probably over by halftime.
Yeah, so you're taking Green Bay at -11.5 if you had to bet on it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Same here. I mean, coming off the bye, too. The Packers are coming off a bye. So we knew this was going to be a tough stretch, Arizona and Green Bay. So this is what it is. And so we'll see. I guess we'll see if the head coach is still employed when we, you know, meet up next week to chat again. Alyssa, we'll have to see if Matt Nagy, does he survive another bad loss to Green Bay? I guess we'll have to find out.
Yeah, I mean, would it be weird, like, after the Bears get blown out by the Packers to have, like, a celebratory show because Matt Nagy's fired? Like,
an emergency celebratory show.
So weird.
Poor Matt Nagy. Yeah, no, I mean, hey, you never know. Leave it to us. We might just do that. That's in our wheelhouse for sure. Yeah, so for Alyssa, I'm Ryan O'Leary. Thanks for joining us again. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. We appreciate all the listeners, and we will catch you next week after Bears Packers.
Bear down.
This USA Today Sports podcast has been presented by USA Today's Sports Media Group and is available in your favorite podcast store. Make sure to subscribe for weekly updates, the latest fantasy picks from Corey Bonini, and the Huddle Podcast, Inside the Weekly Line with Sportsbook Wire's Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren, and the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We'll see you again next week.